Thank you. I have a confession to make. That person that Rebetzin talked about having to change his topic, that was me. I changed the title, but not so much the content. I had originally intended to speak on the fulfillment of Yom Kippur was the tribulation. And I get into the material, and it's massive. It's most of Daniel, a lot of Revelation. I said, I can't do this. So I called Rabbi Yud, and I said, let me just pull some stuff out of that topic. And that's where I got my topic today, Yom Kippur and the affliction of the soul. As Yom Kippur is one of the great feasts, I want to start with a review of the symbolism of both the filled and the unfulfilled seven feasts of the Lord. And we have a video, if there's time, afterwards to show you. It's not too long. Ken? I think four feasts were fulfilled at the first coming of our Lord Yeshua. Passover, a commemoration of the Spirit of God passing over Israel's doors and the final death plague in Egypt, but also prophetic in that God would pass over and forgive our sins because of Messiah's blood, Messiah's death and the shedding of his blood. Unleavened bread, I think, is a picture of Yeshua's holiness, purity, sinlessness. His sacrifice was unleavened, being sinless and without the taint of the curse of death. First fruits, I think, was fulfilled by the resurrection of Messiah. Shavuot, fulfilled, I think, by the birth of the church, the ecclesia. The feast yet to be fulfilled by his second coming, by the way, called is the parousia, which is Greek for presence. Rosh Hashanah, the time we think the Lord will return, often called the rapture. Yom Kippur, of course, the feast we're observing today, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, where I believe the millennial kingdom will be established and the Lord will tabernacle with us. I want to read a few scriptures from about Yom Kippur in the Torah. You've heard some of this before, but I think they're worth repeating. Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, also on the 10th day of this month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation, in the Hebrew, Mikdesh Kodesh, for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on that same day, for it's a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on the same day shall be cut off from his people, shall be killed. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. In the Hebrew, Shabbat Shabbaton, you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Shabbat. In the Chumash, the Jewish Bible says you shall rest on your rest day. In verse 28, we read, of course, no manner of work is allowed on Yom Kippur. The reason, of course, Yom Kippur is the holiest of all the rest days. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, a Sabbath of solemn rest. In fact, in the Talmud, this day is called Yomah, the day of all the rest days. And in Numbers 29, verses 7 through 11, we read, on the 10th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. We heard about that from the Bema with Rabbi Yud. The key word used to describe the Day of Atonement is affliction. The affliction of the soul in biblical practice, done by the body today in Jewish practice, by five self-denials. And Dave Shulman can surely speak to this better than I can. In today's Judaism, there are basically five self-denials. One denies himself from eating and drinking to enhance spirituality. There's fasting accompanied with prayer. There's a denial of washing and bathing. There's a denial of anointing, which is done in biblical times, of course, with oil. One must not use any kind of hand or facial cream on Yom Kippur. A denial of cohabitation. No sexual intercourse between husband and wife. And the rabbis debate, you know, should the light in the bedroom be on, be off? What would allow one to not do this? There's a denial of wearing leather shoes or sandals. They're considered a luxury for Yom Kippur. I almost came to Shabbat last night in sneakers, but now I won't wear sneakers. And old pants. The word translated afflict is ana, to abase, to chasten the self, to defile, to humble, to hurt, to weaken. Ana. There are some passages in Scripture that equate fasting with self-denial and humbling. Ezra 8:21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we may humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Psalm 35:13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to mine own heart. Isaiah 58:3, why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen to God? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? We are fasting today, of course, but is there a deeper meaning than just being humbled by this fast? Could it be through our fasting, there's an affliction of the soul, where we are being remorseful over our own sins? Prophetically for Israel, could the affliction be referred to the results of one major sin, the rejection of the Messiah? If so, their atonement will be fulfilled with Israel's national confession and salvation. What will happen prior to Yeshua's second coming that will cause his people, Israel, to be afflicted and finally accept Yeshua as the Mashiach? In the Scriptures, they speak of a great tribulation that is coming on the earth. Yeshua, in his Olivet discourse uttered on the Mount of Olives on the Tuesday evening before his crucifixion, said, Matthew 24, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The elects, of course, were the Jewish believers. The occasion of Yeshua saying this was part of a threefold question directed to Yeshua by his disciples. They asked him, coming out of the temple, tell us, what shall these things be? The destruction of the temple. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, the consummation of the age? Of course, they were asking about the beginning of the Messianic age. Yeshua answered the third question first, concerning the end of the age. He gave his disciples and us, all believers, some minute details about the consummation of this age. This time, the end of the age of a worldwide calamity and judgment from God is called the tribulation. The last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The extent and the timing of the tribulation is found in Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks, Daniel 9:20-27. It is during this last or 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks the tribulation is to occur. Therefore, the tribulation is indeed Daniel's 70 weeks. The length of the tribulation will be 7 years. I guess I am going to talk about the tribulation. I didn't mean to. The Day of Atonement and the affliction of your souls, our souls, becomes a pivotal point of the Great Tribulation and Israel's final restoration. I want to look at the prophets for just a moment that speak of Yom Kippur. Hosea in chapter 5 talks about the affliction of the body. In 5:15, the text says, I will return to my place, this is the Lord speaking, The Lord left heaven and came to the earth as the God-man. I'll return to my place, that is heaven, till they acknowledge their offense. One specific offense, the rejection of the Messiah. Then Israel will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. There are many verses in Zechariah that speak of much mourning with the afflicting of souls. Listen to these verses. Zechariah 12:10. In that day, in the scriptures, in that day always means the tribulation. In that day there should be a great mourning in Jerusalem. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, the family of the house of Levi by itself, the family of Shammai by itself, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. Mourning by Israel over the rejection of their Messiah. In Hosea 6:1, we see Israel seeking to repent for that specific offense, the rejection of the Messiah. 6:1, come, let us return to the Lord. He was torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established in the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter rain and the former rain to the earth. In Zechariah 12, the Lord acknowledges the affliction of their souls because of his rejection, and responds in verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In Isaiah 53, I want to read a few verses that speak of, I think, the national confession of Israel that they have rejected the Mashiach, the Messiah. We often go to chapter 53 a lot. Verses 1 through 9, I think, speak of their national confession of their rejection of Yeshua. I'll just start at verse 7 of their national confession. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Of course, Yeshua. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So verses 1 through 9, Israel's national confession that they had rejected the Mashiach. I think the Messiah will return when his people ask him to. We need to pray for that, that the Israelis and Jews around the world will finally see the Mashiach and beg for him to return. That's when he will come, I think. I want to say a word just about we believers. What about Yom Kippur and believers? On a more positive note, ana does mean to be bowed down or afflicted. But it also means to sing or chant. As believers, we do and can express remorse for our sins today. But we can also sing for joy that our sins have been forgiven by the sacrificial blood of Yeshua, who died for us and, of course, for the sins of the world. In Judaism, there's an expression. In fact, I said it to a lady here the other night. Gamah chatimah tova. May you have a good sealing. Traditional Jews say that to one another. May you have a good sealing on the day of Yom Kippur and live another year. For believers, we are sealed. We've written to the book of life, not just the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life is what we've been written into. Praise God. Amen. And I repeat, two questions for you. In the text, Yom Kippur is often referred to as Yom HaKippurim, which is the plural form. Why? And I was going to ask you, too, if you observe Yom Kippur and you afflict your souls, what impact do you think it would have on your spiritual walk? Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Not Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shabbaton.